Good morning, everybody, and welcome. I was driving along in the car, listening to the news, and of course, it wasn't very good news. News to make you feel anxious, news to make you angry or upset or annoyed. And then suddenly I remembered some advice I'd received. I thought I'd share it with you. The psalmist, don't fret, trust in the Lord and do good. I thought, yeah. In other words, you do what you can do, and what you can't do, leave to God, because God actually is in control. So I stopped and I looked at the psalm and I noticed some other good advice. Delight yourself in the Lord, commit yourself to the Lord, be still before the Lord. I said, that's the answer. So I relaxed. I said, Lord, just help me to do what I can do, and I'm going to leave these other issues which are beyond me outside in your hands. And of course, this morning, we have the privilege of meeting and being still before the Lord. Let's just pray. Loving Father, we thank you. We have a God who loves and cares, almighty in power, amazing in grace. As we meet in your presence this morning, inspire our hearts and our minds to worship you in the way you deserve, and to find our spirits calmed and still before you. We thank you, we praise you. We do so in our Savior's name. Amen. And our first song. What is it? Oh yeah, In Christ Alone. I was looking there, I was expecting to be there straight away. Thank you. Let's join together and rejoice. In Christ alone our hope is found.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone is solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. From the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, but with the precious blood of Christ. First cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ
seated. Just before Sarah brings the notice, I have a very solemn responsibility and duty. A couple want to get married. I published the banns of marriage from Christopher Ronald Brown, single of this parish, and Sarah Jane Reynolds, single also of this parish. This is for the third time of asking. If anyone knows a reason why this person may not lawfully marry, you're to declare it. Let's pray for them. Lord, we do pray for Christopher and Sarah. We pray your blessing upon them. And as they join together in a church service united in marriage, we pray you will draw them closer to yourself. We pray a blessing on them in the Savior's name. Amen. And before Sarah comes with the notice, I have something else. Anybody likes vegetables? Yeah, good for you. Well, I've got good news for you. Wendy comes to church. I'm actually showing off now because Wendy's the first time in church. She told me her name. I've remembered. And she brought a peace offering or some offering. As you go out, you'll see a table. There's a few vegetables there. There are no leeks. So otherwise, I would have taken them. No, actually, I don't eat leeks. I'm very allergic to leeks. But there's some vegetables there. Please help yourselves. Don't go away. We don't want those vegetables left there, please. Because if you leave them, I'll have to take them home. So, Sarah, over to you.
Some would say I don't need a microphone, particularly my husband. Anyway, a couple of things from me. Please, please, please do not forget the Teddy Bears picnic next week. It's from 12 o'clock onwards. Bring your own food, your own seating, your own blanket. The church is going to be open for the facilities. If it does rain, we just have it indoors. So either way, it's happening. And like I say, from 12 o'clock onwards, and I am looking to find the oldest teddy bear slash cuddly toy slash doll. Okay, that's that from me. Also, I just need to ask, Carol and I are desperate, and we have tried this, and it's worked really, really well the last few Sundays, intermittently. Open church on a Sunday afternoon. We've tried to correspond it with the Elmden Park Country Walk. It's gone down really, really well. We've had families in, we've had children in playing, we've had ladies just meeting for a coffee who've dropped out of the walk. It's been so successful. We've had people coming in who haven't been in the church for 50 years. It's been really, really lovely. But Carol and I cannot just do it on our own. It's not a task. It's so you just enjoy it so much. Well, you do if you like talking to people. So please, if anybody thinks they can do a couple of hours once a month, can you just please let me know? Even if it's just, well, I'll pop in for an hour and sit and have a coffee. It's just that from a security point of view, being more sort of serious note, we can't be having people being left in the church on their own. And as much as I want to be here all the time with Carol, because I do enjoy her company, I have got four children and a husband at home, so I'm zooming here, there, and I keep popping in, popping out. So if Carol could have somebody here permanently with her, that would be lovely. Like I say, it's not cast in stone, but if you can please let me know if you can pop in, that would really help. And then we'll know if we can open the church that Sunday afternoon, because once we start it, don't really want to have to then stop it, because people have a kind of an expectation it's going to be here, and then when it's not, it causes bad feeling. 2 till 4, that's the time we're looking at, Ellie, if that's okay. We provide like the sealed cakes and everything, so you don't need to provide anything, just your time. That would be super. That's it from me. I'm going to pass you over to Elizabeth and Graham, because they've both got a little notice as well.
Good morning. I'm here to talk about Connect Groups. Connect Groups are what Elmden has as our midweek fellowship groups. Obviously, we are Christians all through the week. We are not just Christians on a Sunday. We are the church all through the week, not just on a Sunday. And we like to meet together whenever we can, not just on a Sunday. So our fellowship groups, what we call connect groups, run midweek. We have four of them. We have groups that meet online and groups that meet in person. We have groups that meet in the evening, and we have a group that meets during the daytime. I'd strongly encourage everyone to be a part of one of those groups. We get great fellowship, great time together. We spend time talking about our faith, looking at the Bible, praying together, sharing life together. If you are interested in being in any one of those groups, do speak to me about it, and I can talk in more detail about exactly who runs each group and, you know, when they meet. And if you are a member of a group, I'm looking around and seeing lots of people who are members of groups, why not just, when you're talking to other people, say that you're a member and how much you enjoy it, and why don't suggest that people join one as well. Thoroughly recommended. Okay, now to Elizabeth.
I might be biased, I think they've saved the best till last. I have exciting news today. Today, Kids in Christ is starting up again. So all of you can be praying for us, that would be really helpful. Parents, you are welcome to come back into church if your kids are happy to stay. We're happy to have them all. All children up to the end of primary are welcome, from the very youngest all the way up. Parents, if you like, we have Phoebe, and at the moment we'd probably still need to be there. If you need to be there, then feel free to stay. Otherwise, feel free to leave them, and we can get you if you're needed. If you can be praying, that would be really helpful. And if you are interested in helping in some way, do let me know.
Thank you.
And if you need to use the toilet, feel free. But if you could possibly go that way, so you don't walk through the middle of us and trip over us all, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And if you're over 12, don't pretend you're a child to go out to miss the sermon, because the wardens will throw you back in. Connect groups, brilliant idea. If you haven't connected yet with a connect group, I would advise you. I mean, I don't know what the groups are here, but I've been a member of a fellowship group, home group, connect group, whatever you call it, as far back as I can remember, which is not very far, but never as I can remember. So, it's a great, great idea. Try it if you haven't tried it. I'm sure you'll be blessed. Now, any birthdays today? This week? Oh, well. All right, never mind. Now the children are going to go out. Let's just pray for them. Loving Father, we thank you as we reflect on the way that Jesus loved children, cared for children, and encouraged us to look after children. Bless them today. Teach them, Lord, that they may grow to know you, to love you, and to be steadfast in following you. We pray a blessing on them in our Savior's name. Amen. Off you go, children. Somebody once said to me, I feel guilty. I said, why? He said, well, I've done once something quite wrong. I said, well, how long ago? He said, well, a long time ago. I said, do you read your Bible? He said, well, yes. I said, well, go to John's letter. The Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He will forgive us and cleanse us from every kind of wrong. So I said, if you confess it, leave it behind. He's forgiven you. So we come to the confession time when we confess to God our failures, our weaknesses. But when we've done that and we hear the words he gives to us of assurance he's forgiven us, let's move on with our lives and enjoy that warm relationship that God wants to have with us. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So let us show our love for him by confessing our sins in penitence and faith. We say together, for all the times we have gone our own way, Father, forgive us. You tell us to follow. for all the times we have put ourselves before you and our service for others. Father, forgive us. You tell us to love. For all the times we have been selfish with the things that you give to us. Father, forgive us. You tell us to share, to follow you, to love others and share with them. Father, forgive us. You tell us to change. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with heartfelt repentance and true faith turn to him, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and bring you to everlasting life, all through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's listen to the Bible, the Word of God, as it read to us now, please.
A reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, which is on page 1090 of your Bibles. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much. Does anybody know how many books are written, are published every year? 24,534,653. No, I haven't made that up, actually. Well, you wouldn't know, would you? A lot. But I've noticed recently there's a proliferation of biographies and autobiographies. Why do people write biographies and autobiographies especially? Usually the reasons are to extol themselves, to earn fame through the book, to put the record straight sometimes, to tell an interesting story, very often just to make money. Now, why did John the Apostle write his gospel? We're going to go through John's gospel. And I thought, well, let's have a look. Why did he write it? For none of the above reasons. He tells us why he wrote. That's what we're starting at towards the end of the gospel. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. And John had a problem. It's a problem I think that most men here will have experienced in a different situation, environment. I mean, you're going on holiday, okay? And you and your wife are getting your cases ready. And what are you going to put in for holiday? And we have this problem regularly. I have my case and my wife's case. And my wife gets her clothes in her case, and then she doesn't ask me. She just takes a bit of room in my case as well. I don't mind. Who am I? Who am I to complain? But inevitably, she takes too many things. She brings at least a third of the clothes back unworn. What to take to make sure for every eventuality I'm okay? It's a problem. And John had a problem, really, what to put in. And to answer that question, he thought, what am I trying to communicate? What's the message I want to communicate? I've got to put in this book, it's got to be a short one. What can I put in? I've got to communicate a message. Towards the end, he writes, this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. John said, you know, Jesus did amazing number of things. I sometimes smile to myself when I have biblical critics who say, well, you know, Matthew has this story of the sermon and John has a different, slightly different variation. I thought to myself, how many sermons did Jesus preach? Not just a few that are recorded by John and Matthew and Mark. Thousands of them. How many miracles did he perform? Thousands of them. But John says, I have selected some because I have a message to communicate. And the message is very simple. This is not a biography of Jesus. Indeed, none of the Gospels are biographies of Jesus. Sometimes when biographies are written, you see a note, this is the official biography, which actually says the person who has written this has had good information, inside information, information that no one else could have known. In other words, this is actually the biography you should listen to. Now, John says, actually, I've had inside information. But can I remind you, this is not a biography. This is a gospel. And John goes on to explain to us the reason for it. We have historical events. So the gospels are historical. But notice, about a third of the gospel of John covers just 1 week in the life of Jesus. So you say, why? What was so important about 1 week that out of the whole book, one third of the book covers just the last week? And just, I'll tell you why. Because the message I have for you is important. I'm not talking about the things that Jesus did. I'm talking about the message Jesus came to give to you, the mission of Jesus. And that's the important thing. You see, it's not for learning. It's for life. I haven't written this that you may know about Jesus, but you may have. I want you to read this, and as you read it, you discover God has something for you to have, not to know. It's not for the mind. It's for the life. I was going to bring a little bottle of medicine, and I forgot it. Can you imagine a bottle of medicine? Have you seen it here? Yeah. But I have a bottle of medicine. It's not medicine. It's for my ears, so I can hear better. Although, really, perhaps sometimes I prefer not to hear, but don't tell my wife that, you know. Now, I read the instructions. Nowhere did it tell me how it was made. All it told me was how to use it. That's important. And so with the gospel of Jesus. I have a manual of the car. I had to use it the other day. But, you know, nowhere in this manual does it tell me how the car was made. It tells me how to run it, how to use it, how to sort things out. A little message came up saying one of the tires is flat. I thought, oh, dear me, what do I do now? I took out the book. John's gospel is not just about how Jesus lived, what he said. The purpose behind it was simply this, that you might come to the point of realizing by trusting in him, you might have life. People need Jesus. Jesus came that people might have life. In fact, as you look at John's gospel, right through the gospel, time and again, the message keeps on coming again and again about life. In John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In chapter 5, he says to the religious leaders, you diligently study the scriptures because you think, but by them you possess eternal life. These things, these scriptures, are they that testify of me, yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life. Not you might know who I am. All the way through this word life. John chapter 10. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life. And he doesn't stop there. Life in all its fullness. When I was a young man, that was last century, and I ran a youth club. And this young man, we were trying to explain to these young boys and girls, you see, to put their faith in Jesus. I was talking to this young man, and he said to me, oh, he said, well, you know, eventually I'll think about it, but right now I want to enjoy my life, he said. As though he's saying to me, well, you know, okay, maybe there is a God, maybe I ought to believe, but see, right now my main aim in life is to enjoy my life. Later on, I'll think about it when I get older and getting near the end. I think, well, maybe if there's a God, I'll sort things out because I've enjoyed my life. He got the wrong message. The Christian message isn't pie in the sky when you die. It's life in all its fullness now. There is a commitment to being a Christian. There is a cost to being a Christian. But then, you know, I suspect there is a cost to getting a gold medal in the Olympics. Am I right? Am I right? These people who work hard, they have an aim, a goal, and they go for it. It is hard work. But they know, I'm going to go for it and get it. Fortunately for us, we haven't got to compete and maybe we'll get it. By trusting in Jesus, by following Jesus, we can have life right now, here and now. What does he mean? People were alive. What does it mean, have life? The key is John chapter 1, verse 12. To all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus came to make it possible for each one of us, just as we are, to have a relation with God so deep, so strong, we can call him Father. There's only one person in the whole world, there's about 7.5 billion people, who has the privilege to call me Father. We haven't got one child. What does that mean? It means that for me, though I care for people, I care for you, I care for the hungry that I haven't seen. I care for them. God has given me that compassion, as you have, I'm sure. But there's only one person in the whole world for whom I have a special responsibility, because she is my daughter. I've got that responsibility. And you know, sometimes I've thought about that. God has a responsibility for me, because I can call him Father. Just ignore that dog. He wants to come and join the sermon. Can you believe it? Remind yourself time and again. You know, occasionally when I face difficulties, and I thought to myself, just a minute. If God cares for me more than I care for our daughter, why on earth should I be anxious? I don't understand. I'm not sure the solution, but I can trust him because I can call him Father. Jesus came to make it possible for each one of us to have that relationship. There's a lovely verse in the Bible, again, it's Apostle John, in his first letter. How great is the love of the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's just what we are. But I came across another translation that I love. Behold, what out of this world kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's just what we are. Out of this world. How amazing. John says, I've written this for a purpose. So the purpose of the gospel, that you might believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and invest in him that you might have life. There was a man, and his boss was into shares, into investment. And he overheard a conversation, and he believed what he heard. So he took out his money and invested in what his boss was talking about. And he made a lot of money. He believed. But you see, believing in the Bible is a positive word. We sometimes imagine that believing is a passive word. Well, yeah, I believe. If I were to say to you, this church is going to collapse in about a minute. If you believe me, what would you do? You wouldn't say, oh, that's interesting. That vicar is quite clever, you know. He understands all about it. You'd be out of the door. Women first, of course. Believing is an active word that you might believe. John had no proviso. In investments, you know, investment managers, and you go to invest, and they will say, you know, this is a great investment, but always a proviso. It's not guaranteed. Nothing can be guaranteed. But John says, no proviso that believing you might have. Not you might have, you hopefully will have. The purpose of the gospel was to focus on Jesus and say to people, trust in him, invest in him, go for it. C.T. Studd, a great Christian missionary, wrote this, if Christ be God, and if he died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. John tells us, I've written that you might believe. We believe, don't we? We say we believe. But do our actions show we believe? And a man once said to me, that young man is fanatical. I said, I don't think he's fanatical. I think he's just committed. He believes in it. He believes in it. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you by the way you live? So on the one hand, I rejoice in the privilege that I have, that I can call God Father, because I follow John's advice here. But you know, often I think to myself, Lord, I want people, as they see me, to see a reflection of you. I want you to be proud of me, Lord. I want you to be proud of me. Oh, I'm imperfect. I let him down time and again. I confess he forgives me. We have a wonderful relationship. But I say, Lord, I want you to be proud of me. The challenge for us today, surely we have heard, we do believe, but is God proud of us? Because we're committed to him. And you know, as I said earlier on, Jesus came to be life in all its fullness. There's a vibrancy, a joy in being a fully committed Christian. Don't miss out on the joy of following the Lord. And as we go through John's gospel, next time we begin at chapter 1, having looked at the end of the book, we've gone to the beginning now. And hopefully, by the time you get a new vicar, we might be at the end of John's gospel. And if not, we'll start Romans. Let us pray. Father, give us joy as we follow you. We can't understand the wonder that, Lord, it seems incredible that you should call us to be your children. Give us joy in following you and trusting in you. We thank you, we praise you. We do so in our Savior's name. Amen. Let's sing that lovely hymn, Amazing Grace.
Thank you, Father, for Jesus, who makes it possible for us to come into your presence. And thank you for summer holidays with loved ones to renew our enthusiasm for returning to work, school, and life's routines. Thank you for happy memories visiting different places, the freedom to enjoy your creation in the sunshine and marvel at the beauty around us. Help us look after this planet and clean up the mess where we've got things wrong. Lead us in better ways of looking after the resources you have entrusted to us. And open doors before those who are trying to make changes for good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the church, Father, your forgiven and restored people. May our lives bring you glory and our worship be acceptable in your sight. Give wisdom to those leading our path out of COVID and the PCC meeting next week. Help us discern your loving call on our lives and swiftly follow. May our message to the world be appropriate, clear, and gracious. Father, go before your church worldwide, we pray, that minds might be open to your living word and hearts open to your empowering love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for government as it resolves issues with trade deals post-Brexit, as it decides COVID restrictions and vaccinations with infection rates rising, for those deciding and arranging distribution of the vaccine, that they might overcome the politics of nation and business to show compassion to those most in need. And as students and pupils return to education across the UK, we pray for calm wisdom, sensible conduct, and peace of mind for all, but especially those affected by the news that younger teens won't necessarily routinely be vaccinated. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are ill, like Moira, needing healing for a bad leg, or awaiting longed-for treatment. Those needing healing from long COVID. For frontline workers coping with the rise in infection rates. Those trying to overcome the backlog of elective surgery. Lift spirits that are cast down. Bring comfort where there is despair. And a realistic hope for a better future, despite anxiety for the approaching winter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for people around the world seeking rescue from natural disasters and wars like Afghanistan. For the many migrants seeking food, shelter, warmth, and work, some severely traumatized. Father, keep them in your care. We pray for those who are suffering financially, socially, or with mental health problems. Those grieving the loss of loved ones. That all might know your strength in their need, overwhelming sense of your love in trials. Help from social care, comfort and support of family, friends and carers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Father, as we hear and see the pain and suffering in the world you lovingly created to reflect your perfect glory, we give you thanks for the good that we can't see, but we know is also happening, because we know that you are still at work in it. We rejoice that you are with us and will never leave us, that we can trust in you, not only for our own future, but also for those we see in distress and care about. Thank you for the peace we can know in Jesus. Help us uphold each other in our faith and continue trusting in your unfailing love until Jesus comes on Judgment Day to bring an end to everything that is bad and to take us up to be where you are. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much. Now, I gather the tune are going to come back in now. Are they there? They want to share the peace with us. And remember, as Sarah said, we may not be able to shake hands, but we indicate to one another sure you missed something, because whilst we were having a service here, whilst we were out, we had a dog come in. Would you believe it?
Didn't stay very long. He'd heard the preacher, decided to get out as quick as possible. Okay. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We can't shake hands, but you can wave to one another. And we look forward to the day when we can shake hands and give a hug and that sort of thing. Yeah. Wonderful. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him, you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him, you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. But you raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him, You have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Take and eat this in remembrance. Christ died for you. Drink this in remembrance. Christ shed his blood for you. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So let's rejoice with our closing hymn together as we praise God. I can wait.
Before the world began, God made a master plan to bring all things together under one head. That head is Jesus Christ, who died and rose to life, and now he's seated at the right hand of God. Once we were dead in sin, now we by grace we're saved through faith in Jesus alone. Part of his body now, united by his power, joined with his people of all over the world. We are the church. Have you heard? He washed us clean.
one faith, one God, one Father, one body, one Spirit. We are one in Christ. One hope, one truth, one cross, one Savior, one mission, one future. We are one in Christ. Church, have you heard? He washed us clean with his word. He chose us to be on his team. We are more love than we can dream. We got good news, shout it now. You gotta hear what it's all about. No one's too far away to be. Welcome into God's family. We are the church. Have you heard? He washed us clean with his word. He chose us to be on his team. We are more love than we can dream. We got good news, shout it now.
Give ourselves a clap, and next time we sing that song, I'm going to have the two wardens up here doing the jig. I've seen them up there shaking. And may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus flood your hearts. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now. And until Jesus shall surely come, and then forevermore. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Next Sunday, same time, same place, different songs.